What year is it? Is it 1984? Is it 2023? Is it 2029? Are we going back to the future? Looking a little bit at Terminator reality that takes us from 1984, y'all, to 2029 and back. What about that song Take On Me from the band A-ha? 1984 realness right there for you. Neon everywhere. Gran Turismo neon. 1980s neon. Well, BMW has a new concept car, and it's called D. Digital Emotional Experience is what D stands for. And the cronies over at BMW and the crew that put this together have decided that, of course, the person to bring this to the world is the man they had playing Zeus. You know, the God of Gods, the All-Father, Oliver Sipse, who we get introduced to when BMW introduces us to their new concept car this last couple weeks ago in Las Vegas. Las Vegas, where Sophia Stewart, who wrote The Matrix and Terminator, and Terminator is part of the Matrix story, she went to court and proved her case and won the fact that she was, in fact, the real writer, and released that set in 1984, the year Terminator also was translated from her work and put into the world so that we could see what's coming from the future, what's coming back at us. And what we saw was an incredible idea of technology, robotics, biorobotics, a whole system network in the sky. Sound familiar? A digital network running everything, computers running everything. Dystopia extreme. And now we have BMW bringing us D. I'm going to read you a little bit of something about D. So this is from the site, BMWUSA.com. Imagine technology infused with a human touch, a machine whose intelligence is emotional rather than artificial, a vehicle with a voice, facial expressions, and true personality. A car that's more than a means of transportation, but an ultimate companion. Introducing D, the first BMW with a digital soul. Ooh, sounding very more human than human to me, right? We're getting into a little bit of Blade Runner territory as well. Expression is everything. This visionary concept proves minimalism and expression can coexist beautifully. The sleek and streamlined exterior is juxtaposed with digital features that bring D's charming character to life. Beyond the surface, the kidney grill and headlights fuse together to form a sleek digital panel. D can wink at you, y'all. The language of color, innovative E-Link technology lets you change D's exterior color whenever your mood changes. Reminds me of the Horse of Many Colors from The Wizard of Oz. Remember that tale? Who's behind that curtain? A window to new worlds. D is your portal to the digital realm, simply touch one of the four ShyTech sensors on the BMW mixed reality slider to project everything from augmented reality scenes to full virtual worlds right onto your windshield. Sounds very, very meta to me. As smart as she is soulful, it's the feeling of being thoroughly seen and understood, the satisfaction of life coming together seamlessly, the familiarity of a friend who can communicate with and without words. This technology is more than a device. It's D. Once inside D's cabin, you'll be greeted by your own personal avatar on the driver's side window. It's just one of the many ways D immerses you in digital experiences. With her incredible intellect, D can express a range of emotions. She can speak, listen, and understand your wishes. Her voice can even be heard by those outside the vehicle. The vision, the experience, the emotional range. Let go of preconceptions and enter a new dimension where your individuality is expressed to the fullest. Explore the BMW iVision D. And this is the theme of our talk today here on the Prima Donnas of the Gutter. I just want to ask you to consider what it is we think of as analog. What is it we think of as digital? Where are we going? Where have we been? What is real? What is not real? How are we starting to be eclipsed by the digital, those of us in the analog, original world that tap into the digital to connect but are not fully in an immersion experience? Or are we? Or are we about to be? And so I'm going to bring on my wonderful co-host here, Miss Amy D. Amy D, how are you doing?
Oh my, Nesh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for that introduction into this very weird dream world we are finding, nightmare world we are finding ourselves in. I can't think of a better symbol to kind of bring us into this new 1984 scape, I think is how I'll call it, than a car. A car is so symbolic of so many things, but mostly of our bodies and our dreams and the way that we control our lives. And to me, when I think of a classic car, I think of the way that rock and roll songs would talk about cars. There's a very like she vibe to them. They're always referred to as a she, a feminine. And I don't think it's really any accident that it's sort of symbolically in dreams looked at as our bodies, as our vehicles of getting around this earth. So it is very interesting to me that BMW has this type of car that they're offering where there's so many transitional features to it, the changing colors, the transformative properties, the way that it's kind of acting as your assist. It's interesting. It is sort of an analog to an old world. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that so many of my favorite albums that I listened to probably around like 2015, 16 had so much to do with their cars crashing, or the artwork had to do with cars and pools. There was a lot of car crashing symbolism. And so I think it's very important that I carry that sort of symbolism forward, simply because I think that if we can start looking at this car as the way of like a bastardization of the human body and the human consciousness, or not even a bastardization, but an outward expression, the exact opposite, but trying to do the same thing. I just think that's how I got a pretty good grasp of what was going on both in the world and how this car is speaking to so many of those themes.
Mustang Sally, you better slow your Mustang down. I am definitely feeling this vibe with you. It is, well, it's like Total Recall, right? And there's something bigger going on, or at least more sly. And I love that you brought up the relationship between what our bodies are through dream, through the perceptions of reality and all that, as a vehicle, because that's how I see it as well. And that we are now in this place of immersion where conceptually, and I do mean conceptually, and also this car is a concept, that we get in and control the vehicle, and the vehicle is very interactive. And the vehicle I'm talking about is our body. It's a bio experience. It's a biological experience based on our electrical system, our vagus nerve system, our electrical system that is informed by our endocrine system and our hormonal system and the neural pathways and synaptic responses going on. It's fully integrated with our soul spirit energy. And we had some sort of an interaction with the forming of it as a zygote in our mother's womb, in the natural womb. Remember those? And there's something bigger going on here because they continually are giving us this language through everything they're putting out with this campaign, Amy, about soul and I can be your friend and the emotional factor that this digital vehicle is bringing to the table. And, you know, there was today something that came out, and when this records, it won't be, it'll be down the line. But as of today, there was an article that came out in the Wall Street Journal that the headline says, without consciousness, AIs will be sociopaths. And this is a very interesting and provocative bit of territory to walk through. Now, this is by Michael Graziano. And as I said, it was published today, January 13th, 2023. There's a lot in here to consider. I've been talking about this issue for a long time, but it goes into this whole synchronicity of universes that it comes out today, Friday the 13th, that we're doing this myopic on this car D. In the mix of all this, Amy, is how we are becoming less involved in the analog world. Everything now is smart. Everything now is turning towards the idea of green, and these weapons have been used against us. But who is using these weapons against us? What is going on? There's a whole new term out there if you're not familiar with it, and it's called phygital, which is physical and digital, the marrying of the two. It's a digital experience, and this new iCar D is absolutely the beginning of the crossover into how things are going to link up with us in a biological way, in an emotional way. Now, I postulate that this is going to tie into a bigger network that's going on, and there's going to be some sort of neuro centers or neuro nodes, whether or not we're talking Elon Musk, who is at opposition, and we could see that from the revealing in Las Vegas of how Schwarzenegger made a very slight comment towards what I'm going to guess is Elon Musk, other electrical cars out there. And he went on, and what BMW is doing. And see, the thing is, BMW is tied into now a new network of people and companies that are not private. They're intermeshed. And you can trace this back to, there's Chinese ties here, there's World Economic Forum ties, there's UN stuff. It's online to be in full immersion by 2030. UN 2030, does that ring a bell, anyone? 1984 to 2029 in the Terminator. Interesting here. And as the world is trying to cut emissions by 2035, and there will be no more gas cars, is what we're told. But here, say in my state, Washington, 2025 is a big date for wanting to have crossed a bigger threshold of moving away from the old world and into the electrical digital world. So when we're looking at some of this, Amy, what are some highlights that stuck out for you in general with this transition into the digital world concerning D?
Well, first, I want to say D must stand for de-evolution, because as much as we want to refer to this as smart technology, I'm sorry, the human body is everything that it's based on, and I will die on that hill. Though that is a very unique take, I can admit. Most people would see D as a real beacon of the future, a real savior of the green agenda. It's going to make the world cleaner and better. And that real, it had a real resonance of the way they were talking about what D is going to accomplish, as sort of, it reminded me of OK Computer by Radiohead. It's like better, faster, more productive. Like, it's that real soulless energy that's just about productivity and not about the care. And I find perhaps the most haunting thing about D is that they say she cares. And I'm interested in seeing what that looks like, quite honestly. I think that D is an interesting concept, right? Because they like to show these concepts, I think, as a way of keeping their businesses going in the future and all that. I don't see it coming that soon the way they say it is. I think we're being shown some stuff with D that is, you know how like when Elon Musk brought the truck on and it was just, it didn't go. I mean, it didn't get that sort of response from the crowd. The crowd, while it was definitely supplemented with canned laughter and canned clapping, there was a crowd that seemed interested in what he was offering. But I just, it's like, who cares about a car that changes color? I mean, I can see that lasting for maybe like Google, like eyeglass, like it's important to people for a minute. It's cool. It's novel. Obviously, that's not the main application of that technology while it's being used on BMWs. I have not looked into that, but it's very clear to me that technology is being used on a variety of things. I don't see it as the boon that they think it is. In fact, the more they tried to sell it, I was like, God, I think, you know, methinks you doth protest too much. I think you're trying a little hard here, Arnie. That's what I was thinking.
They're trying to appeal to the flashiness. Even if you go to E-Link's page and you look at the technology, it's really, truly not something right now that is a reality. When we look at this website, E-Link, which is in bed now with BMW and I'm sure other companies, you know, they're co-creating a sustainable, smart future. Right there are very key words, sustainable and smart. And those are words that have been weaponized against us. And then, so full color e-paper technology, that's basically what this is. And this is actually going to change the world around us. It is going to change everything from the way you interact with your digital phones to the way you're interacting with your mirrors. It is in the works. It's like when iPhone introduced the Gorilla Glass. It's kind of on this terminus of where we're going with augmented reality. And it's definitely connected into that, but it is not at the point where it can be out in the elements, hard elements, like one is when they're in the natural world driving on the road. But that begs a question of, really, in the end, you will have nothing and be happy. Your D experience might ultimately only be in the digital world, and you are interfaced with your vehicle. And so there's also something else to look at here, is this idea they've got smart mirror technology in there now. And smart mirror technology, and this is in bed with the D as well and BMW, but it's a two-way mirror with electronic display behind the glass. The display can show the viewer different kinds of information in the form of widgets such as weather, time, date, and news updates. And this is part of what we've seen in all the sci-fi movies and all that, where you're seeing the stuff in front of you, but it doesn't need to technically be on a screen. It's part of the introduction into this new wave of reality, this deeper into the digital world we get. And you're going to start seeing it in your house and on all mirrors. It's going to be integrated into the world around us, along with the whole new eye paper and all this. Everything is moving us further into that realm. And there's something that struck me. There were several things, but one of the things in the commercial, Dee's asking Arnie to teach it about emotion and continues to say the future is not that far away. Now that gets symboled to us many times. And she also mentions, she says when he comes in into the convention, you know, I think I may have said this earlier, but I'm going to say it again just in case. Dee welcomes Arnie to the future. Put your old stuff on the table, where he asks if Dee's God. Now, this is something that's interesting as we dig deeper into this idea, because they're telling us that we're looking at this idea of what God is and how God interfaces with us as humans. And these also representing new worlds where he, you know, Arnie's saying, show me something soulful with character. And he's referring back to the 1980s BMW that they open with that commercial. They have this love story that is presenting us with characters that are transpiring through time. And it's, again, this overlapping of time, and it's this transition from analog to digital. And as you already pointed out, Amy, the main character in that very cringy narrative, her name's Alice. And so we all know where Alice takes us, right down that rabbit hole. And again, what is the rabbit representative of? Well, the rabbit is representative of the tape of time. What goes astray in the argument Dee has for analog is when Arnie, in his nostalgia, looks back to the beauty of being able to warm himself as a human and using a cassette tape and pulling it out, and you see Alice with this tape fumbling with all the tape that came out of the cassette. Now, anyone that had cassettes in the past knows how that goes, and you just roll it back in. But the analogy here is of time, and it's also one that I want to bring in the deeper layer of this. It's the bending, the morphing, the confusion of time we see when she pulls that tape out and it's all a hot mess. But it's also what Dee is using to base an argument on that that is old school and you don't have to worry about that anymore, and that she indeed is soulful and a character. Dee gets very adamant that Arnold is too old school, and she wants him to think about being more innovative and less nostalgic, that he can build new memories with her and that they can fuse together, that he can teach her about what it is to be human, what it is to be emotional. This stuff's all in the script of this. And while we're looking at this full immersion into absolutely new tech, you've got to question, how far away is this really, Amy? We've got 6G now. 5G gave us the ability for 6G, which is taking us into the internet of connected everything, the AI.
And bodies.
Bodies, water
they
things.
They want us as the antenna for 6G. Sorry, I had to say it.
Well, yes, and I've done a whole breakdown on that elsewhere. I rant about this all over the internet. But what I'm saying here is they've got new terminology for some of it. So they call some of the terminology now is AI of things. And so they've gone from the internet of things to the internet of things in the water to the internet of animals. And remember, 5G brings us into it, connecting us through light bulbs, every bit of tech you have, your refrigerator, your stove, your car, your phone, your computers, anything that has any kind of smart tech in it, your house is connected to the Internet of Things. And of course, they needed the dynamic field to be set up. So we have a whole bunch of stuff setting us up, the 5G towers, but we also have the stuff Elon Musk is shooting up, the satellites. And so again, the Terminator reality starts to come forward. It's in plain sight because they hired Arnold Schwarzenegger to do this, Amy. And so this is where we're looking at, are we at the boiling point? Are we able to actually get away? We see him go into his mocap suit, which is a motion capture suit, to be tracked and go into the digital world. Now, we've seen this happening with Madonna doing the NFT, and Madonna's working very hard to set up her digital immortality along with a lot of these old school stars so that they will just go on. There have been contracts signed and all this. This is all part of that new world. And so with Dee asking Arnie to teach it about emotion and continually saying that the future is not far away, and having David Hasselhoff with his what was once very futuristic car saying, Avidison, and driving away. What are we looking at here, Amy?
Well, I think we're looking at, well, I'll call it the battle of the B and the D. And I think we're looking at the human body, which is amazing, the B, and we're looking at the competitor, which is the D. And I think that we're being offered a false, obviously, connection to a digital, quote unquote, utopia. I'm not exactly sure what to call it. And I don't even necessarily think that the actualization of this car is that important. I think that would be great for BMW, and there probably is something like that in the works. However, I think they're really demonstrating their new technology, as well as really putting it out into the zeitgeist. I really can't stress it enough. This idea of the old information system, the analog, the B, versus the new information system, the D. And if I also consider how Arnold Schwarzenegger, the characters he has played in his movies over time, they have all been very, not all, a lot of them have been very, very body-minded. He was an actual bodybuilder, like a Mr. Universe or something at age 15. He then went on to play some roles, but Terminator was where he played a person whose body was made of metal and whose body, honestly, throughout the entire Terminator series, the Terminator is made of different things, not his version necessarily, the T, is it T-800, something like that, but the newer versions are made of more malleable metals or things that can transform before our eyes. He was also in that movie Twins with Danny DeVito, which for anyone who's not, you know, 30 or older, Danny DeVito is like a really tiny guy and Arnold Schwarzenegger is like a really big guy. So there was a lot to do with body play and that. And then finally, he does, I think it's called 9 months, or he's a pregnant man, you know, for goodness sake. So they love using him for his transformative physical properties as well. And I think that this is really just a huge push on the subconscious, forget the conscious for a minute, the subconscious level, that we need to accept this like digital D into our life. And Nish, you also even said it earlier, you called it the D experience, because that's what they call it. You had called our body the body experience, and you had referred to it as the D experience. And I cannot think of a better way to refer to the D experience as the D experience, because it is D experiencing. There isn't, it's giving you a synthetic sense of experience. It's that whole Goodwill Hunting, you know, in the cave sort of stuff, where it's like you can actually know the body can have experience with something, or it can be told something in a simulated way. There's going to be knowledge gained either way, but one of those methodologies for gaining that knowledge is soulful and the other one is not. I'll allow you to put that together. But that's kind of where I'm going with this, is that there are just the body, what it is, the capability of what it is to be human, transhuman, body modification, all of these things seem to be majorly at play in so many ways. And of course, how consciousness responds to something that's organic versus inorganic, or something that is, let's say, programmed by a man who maybe had some sort of off kilter, maybe a missed connection with God or some sort of consciousness. And maybe it's a little bit, you know, blooped out, and it's obviously not the right thing, or it's not the real classic, the actual God experience, but it's definitely that simulation thing again, you know? So the knowledge that one gets with their body, you just cannot match that with the intelligence from AI.
And see, what they're trying to say is you can, because one of the, you know, the big narrative with Alice and the guy in there and all this, and Arnold's talking nostalgically to Dee, whom he thought, you know, they set up as God in the dark over there with the lights. He says, so old world, when things were more real, and then he brings in true love and the first kiss and this juxtaposition between that kind of tangibility and heart and soul is another thing that is brought in. And see, with the smart mirrors, and one of the main functions with these new mirrors is they have geolocating properties in them. So they are lined up now to the AI of things, which is the AIoT, which is a term that's out there. You can look it up. And this is all tied in. So it started with our GPSs and our cars and stuff. And here's where it's gone now, because this is going to tie into everything. Your geolocating is essential. So even your mirror now, or surfaces that have a back space to them, this is giving us the depth that they're trying to say the digital world is bringing to the table. What they're trying to say is that moving from the old world, the circle, now you're coming into this new dimension, the sphere. And they're putting it out there that, you know, a la Alice, a la, you know, Kit and Back to the Future and all this stuff, because they give you a real idea. And he says this himself, who better to introduce all this than Arnold Schwarzenegger, who has played all these roles that have brought about the future you're in now and the future you will be in. And that's in that revealing at the conference. These are words that are spoken. And it's just interesting to see that this is actually something they're presenting in a way that is taking it into the, I guess, the realm of idolatry. This is the new golden calf, if you will. The fact that you have reality sliders in your new vehicle to give you the view you want of what reality is something that should be of interest to everyone. Is your reality right now that mundane that you need to turn everything into looking like a video game? I think it is to the new generation. I think it's more exciting to people coming in now and the people that will come in the future through that realm, through artificial wombs and all that. That's the world we're actually looking at. This is not a concept. This is taking us into that space. We have all this technology this car is already built upon in the field with these different companies like we're talking about. So those companies are already selling and doing business and are in the field right now that make this concept car D an actual reality when they bring these components together. And there's another thing in here, Amy, that struck me, and we introduced this earlier, that Sophia Stewart was the one who wrote The Matrix and Terminator. And it hit me that, and she, so Sophia Stewart lives in Las Vegas. Well, what are we looking at in Las Vegas? The story of Las Vegas is fascinating. Building a metropolis in the desert was a big deal for the founders of all that. And we can go into this later, but there's a lot of juicy stuff that intertwines people like presidents and starlets and mobsters, many famous names involved in all this, Kennedy, Sinatra, Monroe, and there's all the players are involved. And then this is not even putting in, of course, if you say Sinatra, you absolutely need to think about outer mafia and mafioso families, which means the money. So Vegas has a very rich and illustrious background that was set into the idea of the future. And if you're in Vegas now, you know that you're basically in a version of the world. They have the Eiffel Tower. They have monuments, the great monuments from all over the world there that are iconic. So we're seeing this imagery. And meanwhile, we have the writer of Terminator that resides there. And she wrote herself in to that series as the Oracle. So Sophia,
I'm sorry, you said the writer of Terminator, and I think you meant the writer of The Matrix, right?
Sophia Stewart wrote both of them. It's significant that they presented this fake world, this impossible futuristic world that Vegas started out as in the last century, and that they're using that landscape that is neon central, electrical central, absolutely dependent on modern technology to exist as the gateway, as the bridge to the experience that D is offering us, this immersive experience. And we have lots and lots of sci-fi to back up modern sci-fi through old films. So Resident Evil does a whole stint in Vegas where we have all those intelligent zombies. And then Blade Runner 2049 has a whole setup there in the future of what Vegas is. And see, these narratives are all coming together because in the end, Dee is trying to ask us, by asking Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is connecting us to the past of what a lot of us consider the analog world, the real world. She's asking him, as he's in his mocap suit, to believe in her, to interface with her. She comes up out of the dark on the stage with their lights and she drives in. And she was this external voice. So if we look back at the tech in the car, remember the voice can be heard, D can be heard inside or outside. Again, we're looking at this idea of what is real and what is not, what is augmented and what is natural. And this is the ultimate question of all of this going on right now, everywhere around us, whether we're looking at what wars are going on, how they're going on, what's the technology of it, what do we think is real, what do we think is not real. There are a lot of people in the world that will tell you NFTs are real and they sell for a lot of money, but can you hold it in your hand? And so there's this blowback and this idea of now telling us that AI is going to be dangerous without consciousness, that it's our duty really to try and get a sense of consciousness into open AI. And so before I hand this back over to you, Amy, I want to just ping on a story that's re-entered the zeitgeist. And it was from a contact in the desert some years ago where the wonderful and truly scholarly, high on the totem pole, real old school journalist, non-biased journalist, Linda Moulton Howe. And I know that she's getting raked over the coals right now, as she has all along when she first started talking about cattle mutilations. She is, a few years ago, contact in the desert, bringing forth this story out of Japan that four robots killed 29 scientists, and they were AI robots. They were being taught to be soldiers, and there's a whole story out there you can find. In an open search right now, all you find is the misinformation stuff, the real misinformation, that it's all a farce and discrediting her because of her amazing journalism. She always has all the receipts. This woman does not talk if she doesn't have receipts. She's a proper neutral journalist. So I implore you to go find that story. But what I want to say here is this was a few years ago, and this was what was being released to her through a vetted person. And what do we have now? We have Amazon firing all these humans, and they're now saying they've got robotics coming in, AI robotics. So not conscious, not sentient AI, but intelligent AI robotics. What's going on with the police force? We're seeing AI dogs everywhere. They've got DARPA, and other companies like DARPA are setting up these new humanoid robots like the ones that killed those 29 scientists in Japan. What are we talking about? We're talking about a world that is ruled by the digital realm, by Skynet, essentially. They can turn you off. They can turn your car off. They can turn all your devices off. And if you are hooked up yourself and you haven't paid your bill, they can turn off the mechanism within your biology, your autonomic system, so that you can't breathe any more air. This is all out there for you to be seen. And so, Amy, I think it's important for us to maybe do a little background on Arnold Schwarzenegger and what's going on with him. You sent me a very intriguing video with him talking to Russians and really trying to hedge his bet as far as getting a word to Russians. And of course, it's for the American people, but he's connecting his hero in Russia and what got him started in being, ended up being Mr. Universe and all this. It was cringy, and it seemed very obvious his connections into these narratives that are really pushing us along right now, that are going to get us into the safer world they want us in, which is the digital world.
Well, I guess you're talking about my low-key conspiracy theory that Arnold Schwarzenegger is Derek Zoolander from the movie Zoolander. He has a very, very interesting past in that he knows many languages. He's one of the strongest people alive was. I don't know. There's probably stronger people now. He has been married to a woman who was related to the Kennedys. He's basically a man's man, but more than that, he is from this very interesting time period in Europe that he was, I think it was a time of occupation. So that's interesting. And he goes on to come to the United States and have a really, really successful movie career and a really successful political career, which even as a Californian, I had been memory wiped of for a minute in reviewing this. And he also has a real affinity for vehicles, which is probably another reason that he was found himself to be a good fit, or he would have considered himself a good fit for BMW for this whole campaign. He was deemed by in that really cringy video we saw of him, you know, explaining the car in Las Vegas, he was referred to by the CEO of BMW as a governor, a time traveling android, and a pregnant man. And never, after hearing that, I had never considered Arnold Schwarzenegger to be that interesting. And then as we talked about earlier, I considered how his body has been used in so many ways to demonstrate so many things. And I think that it is worth noting that they have him as a pregnant man in one of these movies, because what is more unnatural, inverted from nature, than a pregnant man? I mean, I can't think of anything that is more undoable or more not doable than that. I also think it's really interesting his the amount of access he has to the political world and to the global sphere. And that is something in the video that he talks about a lot, both with the Ukraine situation and with the green car energy situation, that these are really important things for like a better tomorrow. He's kind of a poster child for sterility and for the anti-nature of everything. And honestly, as a movie performer, he's fine. But when I really do start thinking about what he symbolizes and how he has this Austrian accent, this very tall, kind of white, blonde, Nordic look to him. And they keep putting him in this situation where he's technologically advanced, or they kept referring to those movies as science fiction to science fact. And my mind kept on going crazy, lighting up, thinking about the technology that comes from that area of the world, the sense of time, the Swiss, you know, being the main makers of some watches, and just the connection to the bank and time, how he is interfering with all of these sort of narratives. If I can really get over my bias for how gross I think he looks, Nish, I think he's a pretty interesting guy for us to start following, because he has a lot more going on than meets the eye. And definitely in that speech, I think, Nish, you posted it to your Twitter, that he gives the propaganda piece that he gives to the Ukraine or to the U.S. via the people of Ukraine. It's very obvious if you even slightly read between the lines that he has an allegiance in some way to a certain, you know, affiliation, though he denies its existence. But the way he talks about who initiated what is very interesting. And I will leave it there. But I would really implore all of our listeners to go find that on your feed, because that is a very eye-opening video to the ways in which the government is using Hollywood on the world stage. And honestly, before I hand the mic back over, I just realized that Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone had that restaurant called Planet Hollywood. And if there has ever been a better symbol for what Arnold Schwarzenegger presents, he is Planet Hollywood. He's playing the character, he's playing all of those characters as himself, delivering this futuristic scenario, hellscape, in my opinion. It is Planet Hollywood indeed.
He clearly made a deal with the devil. And I think one of the things, as you were talking here, I'm reminded of the fact that back in the day, and I don't know if you remember this, he was actually driving a real Hummer around. Yes. And then they turned it into a street vehicle. He was driving a real one. And then they made a street vehicle, all based on the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger was using one, driving one, had one. This is the influence this man's had. To you and I, Amy, he seems laughable. He really does. And I feel the same way about him that you do. And he's just cringy. I'll be back is always like that cringy line, and that he's always saying it. And it's not campy. It's cringy. And so he's become a character of himself. That's what he's become. And I do think he signed some sort of a deal. Of course, you don't get to that level in the old world without signing a deal, obviously. But he's got staying power, and he seems to be continually propped up. And as we're seeing right now, he's getting moved into the digital realm. So he is going to be an eternal figure. He's going to be on the blockchain. He's already in the blockchain. He's already a slave to the new world. And so I think that's important to consider how that is. And like we're always saying here is we need to think about these people and their roles. So we like to break them down individually and where are they connected? Who are they connected to? But also it's important to remember that they become stars a lot of times in the old world because of roles they played, of movies that got pushed into the zeitgeist and thrown at us. You either wanted to be them, that starlet or that punky girl or whatever, or you wanted to hate them. They were the shadows on the wall in Plato's cave. And this is a big deal. It's like Sophia Stewart writing herself into the story of the Matrix and the Terminator, which are connected. She says in her own words, those two are connected. It's a connected story. And they cut it in half and did the Terminator separate from the Matrix. And she says, you need to have that's together. You need to read the series as one, but she puts herself as the Oracle. So when I think of Sophia Stewart now, when I see the Oracle, I'm thinking of her as that, because that's who she casts herself as. How do we know what anything is in the outer world? All we know are their projections on the wall, those shadows dancing around on the wall, until we pick our asses up and move through the scary territory of getting through to the surface to realize that we have been in a simulation of reality the whole time, an imitation of life. And that is what looks like is befolding in front of us. Now, a lot of the narrative we talk about here, Amy D, falls into this predictive programming through fashion houses and what's going on. But this is now tying us also into this, whatever you want to call it, between Ukraine and Russia war, if you want to call it that. I'm going to keep my personal opinion out of this right now, but it's definitely not what you think it is, in my opinion. And this is where we need to start parsing out and making choices. It's going to start coming to everyone. The world is trying to tell you that you can't have analog anymore. You can't have gas cars in the future. It's all electric. And Amy, you brought up the biggest, hardest point here. Cobalt. And what runs all this electricity anyway? Coal? I mean, people are not putting this together. How is this falling short that the systems that are actually running the new systems are still the old systems? But we're not allowed as people to run the old systems or have any of that old system stuff connected to us. We are being offered no choice but to move into the new systems. What are your thoughts here, Amy? I'm going to give you the last word as we kind of move into the end of this show with all this. There's so much here to chew on.
I can't help but think all of this is in service of a green agenda. And unfortunately, as great as if you're totally buying, if you're drinking the Kool-Aid, the green agenda sounds great. However, if you're kind of more down to earth about it, and I do mean down to earth about where this green energy and all this technology comes from, then you would understand its blue shadow. And I did not It did not escape me in watching this Arnold Schwarzenegger presentation when they flashed out to the audience. The entire audience was washed in a blue light. And Schwarzenegger himself was wearing a blue suit. I'm sure those were just to complement each other. But then I go, well, what's the blue? And the blue to me is the Bluetooth, the wireless technology, and the batteries and the cobalt. I haven't done a ton of digging into cobalt mining. But I've seen enough to know that, first of all, it's really, really inhumane. But if you don't even care about that, and at this point in the game, I understand some people are like, that's just the reality of living. It's a scarce product. And it's not only scarce because of how much there is, it's scarce because of how expensive and difficult it is to mine. And as of 2021, the cobalt crisis was not exactly a crisis yet, but there was, you were starting to hear rumors of car companies saying they're not going to be able to secure cobalt for the next 5 years. And so this kind of information coming towards us is sort of interesting, because you go, well, how do they plan to take everyone off of gasoline cars by 2030? And then also, you know, there's not enough electricity. And also there's only so many batteries that can be made. There's simply not enough to go around. And even if you are thinking that's a conspiracy, there's simply not enough people that are doing the mining, because it's very dangerous and very expensive to make that kind of scale possible. So there's going to be a lot of squeezing to try to make these goals happen, these ESG scores happen, these low carbon emissions goals happen. And it's probably not going to be too favorable for, you know, the people who aren't making the laws and policies. But that would be what I would say, is that there is a very dark blue shadow cast over all of this. And it's not so pretty, girl.
Just to tie into what you're saying, because I have to, this is what they're going to get everyone in and playing the game. You sign the contract to get in. You can't get out. Hotel California people. And what is going to happen then is the whole smart city thing, where you're within 15 minutes of everything you need. There's car sharing if you're good with your credit scoring system. And so the rarity of cobalt is going to reflect the rarity of being able to afford technologies that have cobalt, that need cobalt and other rare minerals such as gold and all that as well, gold and silver. And so I think this is baked in. They're going to get us all in there, and then they're going to say, of course, you can't have any of that anyway if you've got a low social credit score. That's already set up and running. But then it's going to be truly an elite thing to have a car, no matter what kind of car, to have a D because of the technology that goes into it with these rare minerals. And so they've already set up the fall. They've already done the Hegelian thing. And if you have the foresight to see how that's running out, and I'm so glad, Amy, that you brought all this up, because that's why you're going to get in there. That's how you're going to get in there. And when you get in there, that's how you're going to end up having nothing and being happy, because you will be more plugged into a very small world where you need permits to go outside of your 15-minute radius, and you will definitely be able to get into the digital world and be anything you want if you are running correctly with the social system. And that is the trap. And this is why it's called Terminator. We have made systems set up in Canada. If you are not happy with the way things are, you can just get in one of those little eggy pods and say sayonara and get reborn into a synthetic womb and come back in. It's a relooping experience. This is why Arnold Schwarzenegger and his legacy of these tales is important. Total Recall really comes to mind. But with that, Miss Amy D, with our Eye Vision D from BMW breakdown and all the components, this has been a dynamic show. And we look forward to hearing the comments. What do y'all think about this new trek into the future, into the digital realm? Are you excited about being able to interface with your car? Do you need your car to be your companion in a new way? Is it going to help you with your loneliness? Are you alone? Is that the reason why you're pushing towards the tech? Hey, Siri. I want to thank my co-host, Miss Amy D.
There's a few places you can find us on Instagram. You can find us at Prima Donnas of the Gutter Podcast, at Nish369, or at She's Amy D. Or you can find the entire podcast and every other Prima Donnas we've ever done at starlight.watch/Prima Donnas of the Gutter. And our Twitter, which is very minimally run, is Prima Donnas OTG.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone, for spending time with Amy D and I here at Prima Donnas of the Gutter.